Now, let's talk to Fergal, since we were talking about marriage age there. Appropriately enough, we're going to be talking about dating now. How are you, Fergal?
Very well. Nice segue.
Nice one. Listen, actually, what brought us on to that was that the original story that was from the CSO today, Fergal, people in Ireland are getting married very late now. Late 30s is the latest statistic. Are you surprised by that?
Not a bit. I think we've even talked about it maybe before at some stage. And it's we get people coming in here now and sort of they might be sort of 39, 40, 41, and they're now thinking about, okay, let's talk about marriage, let's talk about kids, let's talk about babies. And, like, you know, they're coming in also having had children on their own, that's happening, and then they look to get married after that. So I think people's career progression, people's, you know, path of education, people are far more into self-development and personal development, and also then it's the depressing kind of cost of living crisis where people aren't able to afford to move out, so they're still living at home with mommy and daddy, and so the opportunities aren't there to get into a relationship and move in together and progress in that side of their lives. That's what we're seeing. So, yeah, no, 30, last time I checked, you probably have more up-to-date figures than me now, but I thought it was 37 and a half for men and 34 and a half for women.
Yeah, these are figures for 2023, and the age has gone up to 36 for women and 38 for men.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah, yeah. So that's kind of in line, pretty much. Yeah, so it's not surprising at all. We put things on the long finger, and we have, in Ireland, we have this kind of, from an anecdotal point of view, we have this kind of, sure, we'll see how we get on attitude, and sure, we'll wait and see, or what's meant for me won't pass me by, and it does pass people by, and then they're in a panic station then when they reach the mid to late 30s, and then sometimes what happens is people settle, and I hate that word, but sometimes they do. They end up with somebody that they probably shouldn't end up with, because they're just thinking, well, feck it, I better just do this and get married and have kids, because that's what society thinks I should be doing at this stage in life, you know. But then you get people who might just get married quite young. We have that too, and then they end up separating in their early 30s, but they've got kids already, so they haven't got that sort of panic. But yeah, there's an awful lot of people who now are just leaving it much later to get married, because they don't feel that they have to do things in the old Catholic way, whereby, you know, Bridey would bless herself if she heard that someone had a child before they actually walked down the aisle. Now, what we're finding is people are just deciding, let's move in together, let's have our child first, because we are late 30s, early 40s, and let's get married in 2 years' time and have the child be our page boy or flower girl. And there's something really nice about that. And so the pressure isn't there to do it in the old-fashioned kind of structured way of marriage, move in, have children.
Yeah. I think it's nice, too, that people don't feel the pressure. You mentioned there that a lot of people got married at a particular time in life because they felt they had to, that it was the thing to do, and all their friends were getting married. Isn't it nice now that people, we live in a world and a society where people can feel confident about remaining single if they want, for as long as they want, rather than just marry somebody for the sake of it?
Oh, God, yeah, 100%. And, you know, when you look at the divorce rates and separation numbers, it's out the door. So, yeah, I mean, and the complications that brings. And then you have people who are contacting us, and they're kind of stuck in this situation. They might have their own business together, and they're living in a house, and either there's too much money or there's not enough money, so they can't actually illegally separate or divorce. And they often say to me, "Oh, Jesus, we probably knew we never were right for each other, but we already had kids, and when we started the business, and so we thought, well, let's just wait till the kids are off in college, and then we'll separate." So they kind of knew at 7 or 8, when the kids were 7 or 8, that they weren't right for each other, but they remain then kind of not, I hate to say trapped, but it's kind of trapped in this situation, because, you know, can't afford to buy another house, or you don't want to say it to the kids, or the business would suffer, and for tax reasons, there's loads of reasons why not getting married is too quickly is a great idea, and just to get to know the person better, you know, beforehand, and living together is an absolute must before getting married, which if I said that 30 years ago, they'd be cursing me, you know. So it's no harm, but it's no harm that things have gotten a little bit more delayed. But the only thing that I would say is that don't jump into things, but at the same time start a bit sooner, start looking a little bit sooner.
Exactly. Well, Fergal, I'm really interested to hear about the Americans, because you were telling me off air earlier in the week that you're seeing a flood of Americans signing up with Intro looking for us gorgeous Irish people.
I swear to God. And it's mainly American men who are looking for the gorgeous Irish Colleens. Yeah, it really is. And, like, it's just over the last few months, it's just, over the last year, actually. I don't know what's happened over the last year, but they're literally getting on to us on a weekly basis, I would say, at this stage, saying, you know, I met someone last year over when I was visiting Galway, or I was down in, you know, in Kenmare. Like, they do. They tell me the stories of when they were here, and they think, oh, my God, I just felt like I had that connection with them, and I felt like I felt that there was a serious family bond, and that you guys over there have such good family values that we lack over here. So I think they really miss and they long for emotional connection that they think Irish people have in droves. And they only see positives. They only see absolute positives. I don't know. It's the rolling hills. It's the green grass. It's the brown bread. And it's just generally, I don't know. They just have this romantic idea of everything Irish is just where I need to be. And I think I'm going to end up in Ireland. That's how they talk. You know, they're very dramatic about their feelings. They're very open and honest. They are totally the opposite. Like, if you went down the road now and asked Johnny or Mary to talk to you about their emotions, you know, I'm not sure how open an answer you'd get. I certainly don't get fully open answers without really trying to dig a little deeper. We are a bit guarded here, which, no harm, but Americans, the complete opposite. And I don't know what it is, but they absolutely are in awe of Irish people, and they see themselves living here. And, you know, a cynical person might say maybe they watched a few too many rom-coms. I don't know. but they literally don't see any negatives. And we'll try and be as positive as possible here, Deirdre. But, you know, we're not all roses all the time. It's not all bunny rabbits and daffodils in Ireland, as you know yourself. We have a lot of pros to our society, but there's a few little cons there as well.
There is indeed. It's nice, though, that, you know, because, like, we're always talking about distance and long-distance relationship, and what if you match somebody up from Donegal with somebody from Cahir Daniel or something. But I'm just thinking about some of your typical clients. If you said to them, oh, I've a lovely girl now who's interested in you from South Dakota or so, how would that go down?
Well, do you know what? It goes down a lot easier when you say to the woman in Ireland that there's a guy who, you know, well, not that we say he has a few bob, but they usually would if they're willing to fly over and back every few months. And he's got this jet-setty kind of life, and he works in this area, and he's very successful. And he's obviously, if a guy is willing to travel over from, say, Florida or from New York or from San Fran every few months, he's clearly a motivated, well-intentioned, and determined individual. And that really attracts women. Women are longing for a guy to be a go-getter and to be a decisive, proactive individual. That's what people long for, because a lot of women will complain about Irish guys saying, geez, like, I've been doing everything in this relationship. I'm just dragging him along, kicking and screaming. Like, where do you want to go on holidays with the family? Do you want to go out for dinner? Whatever you think. And that wrecks women's heads. And they're like, Jesus, when they hear that a guy is willing to travel thousands of miles to come over on a date, that feeling of, whoa, geez, he's a romantic. He's determined. He's serious. But then sometimes it can be, he's a bit too full on. Is he okay?
Yeah.
You know, so you get a bit of that. But then I'd have problems, let alone Cahir Daniel to Donegal, Sneem to Kenmare, a lot of people would complain about, to be honest with you. But in here, as you know yourself, they have to be open to travelling. But no, oddly enough, they would be quite happy, and they have been successful a lot of the time. And what happens is, when the success happens, Mary's quite happy to go over to San Fran, you know, next month for a few days, and he comes back in 2 months or 3 months' time, and they make it work. And it's kind of just this really exciting kind of back and forth over the pond. And it's just over the last year, I don't know what the hell happened. I really don't. I don't know, maybe COVID made people think, I just need to be more dramatic in terms of making more of an effort, and it seems to be the case. But it's also America, what's going on over there. I think people, there's a huge divide, that's what they're saying. There's just the way things are, and the politics of it all. They're looking for ways to kind of get out of that and bring it back to nature and a more natural, old school kind of traditional approach.
Yeah,
I think
I'm very interested, though. I mean, how, like, any romance, in order for it to work, you need to see each other frequently. So realistically, you're not going to be able to see each other too often during the what we'll call the courting process before you might get serious about somebody. Like, that's a lot of air miles, Fergal.
Yeah, it is, but that's why the Americans, when they're this proactive and that full on and that high energy, they don't waste time. They go on one date and then they say, okay, well, I feel we have this connection. We need to make this work. Let's make a plan. They are severely, like, they're really on it. They don't have this dithery kind of, yeah, sure, we'll see how we get on. Sure, I'll talk to you later. They don't do that. They are completely like, let's make a plan right now, Bridie, about when we're going to meet. And Bridie's like, Jesus, who is this? This is alien to me. I'm not used to this at all. So that kind of, they make the effort. Like, if two people have that connection and if they have that bond and they feel like they're completely on the same page, they will, you know, get excited about meeting up. And they will, like, if he's over for 2 weeks, they will meet every day. They will meet up and then they will make the plan for next month or 2 or 3 months down the line. But we've had situations, though, in the past where we've gotten people together who are both in Ireland, then one of them gets a job over in Australia for the next year or two. But they know that they're right for each other, so they just do FaceTime for the next 2 years. They do. And anytime I have someone on the phone to me saying, oh, sure, travel doesn't work because the last relationship I was in, they were too far away, and so distance isn't going to work for me anymore. I was like, no, the person wasn't right for you. It wouldn't matter about the distance if the person was right. So
that's,
they just
so
use
true.
The distance as an excuse.
Yeah, if you're crazy about somebody, it doesn't matter if they're in Alaska and you're in Listowel. You'll make it work, you know?
Exactly.
We'll take a break, Fergal, and I would love people... Anyone single listening to us this afternoon, and I know we have a lot of single people tuned in, looking for love, who love listening to Fergal every month. How would you feel about dating an American who is still in America but might just be willing to come over here and start a life with you? What would you make of that if Fergal matched you up with an American? Let us know, 083 300 3300. We're back in a moment.
Joy Alcohol Sensible.
You're welcome back. We're chatting to Fergal from Intro Matchmaking, and he's been telling us about Americans who are signing up with Intro, looking for love among Irish people. Fergal, do you think there'd be much of a difference? I mean, obviously not culturally anymore, because the world is a very small place thanks to the internet, etc. But could a match between an American and an Irish person work, or would there be some fundamental differences between them, do you think?
Well, we've had a few like success stories here when people literally, and the way we I suppose qualify that is by people going on pause, and people will then either come back within 3 months or they won't. And so, like, I suppose the proof there that people have had success. I mean, there are going to be differences. Like, if someone is very right and someone is hoping that someone gets into the White House at the end of the year, then that might not go down well with too many of the clients that would be here. So if you're talking politics, if total differences on politics, then no, it definitely wouldn't work. Politics takes is a huge part in determining whether people are going to be right for each other. I mean, we would have often even heard that here, where people say, "Oh, don't, I'm FF, but I don't want to be meeting anyone who's Sinn Féin," or like that's what they say. They go into the details of that. Or back when the water charges were there, I won't meet anyone who doesn't think that they should pay for water or they shouldn't pay for water. So yeah, political views differing would be a massive deterrent on it. Cultural differences in terms of just, I suppose what the guys are longing for is that family, that stability. I think a lot of them came from broken homes. Every one of them came from broken homes, or there was sort of domestic abuse, or there's issues, or there's always a big story as to why the American wants the Irish person, because, you know, the father wasn't around, or the mother was a drinker, or something like that. There's always, like, in here in Ireland, there's drama, and obviously this stuff was swept under the rug, not talked about. Americans talk about it to the first person that they meet, so, and they wear their heart on their sleeve, and that's why they're coming here thinking that in little old Ireland, sure, that stuff doesn't happen. There's a little bit of a naivety there. Hope not being mean to the Americans. I'm happy that they're doing this, but you know what I mean? They do feel that it's very unspoiled, and that we have, again, that family bond, that connection, that stability, that home. That's what they long for.
Yeah, because, okay, you might say that we're far more liberal and broad-minded and we've a more inclusive society now than we had back in the day. But at the same time, we do. I still think there is a very traditional, how would I put it, vibe to most Irish people. Most Irish people are still kind of conservative and traditional, especially when it comes to the whole family and family values and family structure. I think that's still there, to an extent anyway, Fergal.
That is true. But then I was approached by an American production company, and they want the stuff that they wanted us to do. They thought that we were all, you know, John Joe, who was like, you know, diddly eye, and they thought it was, the way they were describing what they wanted the show to be was going to make Ireland look like we were still stuck back in 1920. And I said, do you realize we're the technology hub of Europe, if not the world, and it's so multicultural and multifaceted, and there's so much going on, and it's you know, we very much moved on from where they thought it was. So I actually refused. I said, no, I definitely wouldn't take part in that. And it was going to be like streamed on a big, you know, thing, but I said no, I couldn't possibly, because it would paint a seriously old and archaic picture of what Ireland was. It didn't actually end up going ahead.
Have any of those men who've signed up, and it does seem to be men from what you're saying, those men who've signed up, have they actually ever been to Ireland, or are they just going with the picture postcard view of what it is or what they think it is?
I know they would have visited on business, or they would have been here as a child, and there'd be some memory from that time that they thought, oh my God, I can't believe I either don't have enough time to actually pursue things on a personal level because I'm busy with work, because they're usually very successful kind of guys, or else they came when they were, you know, very young and they had fond memories and they thought, oh my God, I really feel that nostalgia, and I want to get back to that, and I really want to revisit that, because I just don't have that where I am in, you know, let's say Florida or whatever, where it's either baking hot and then people don't talk to you, and they just love the connection. Even as they say as well, getting into a taxi, going on a date, like going to the date, like, geez, the conversation I have with the taxi drivers, I wouldn't have spoken that much to someone in the States, like, in forever. They're just shocked by the level of willingness to communicate and to just have a nice chat. How are you, and where are you, and who are you from now? You know, when you walk into a bar in anywhere in Kerry or whatever, and people are, if you're a blow-in or whatever, they say, who are you now, and who are you here with? And see, some people might think that's really nosy, but the Americans, when they don't get that treatment when they're in America, they're like, God, they're so nice, they're so lovely, they're asking me questions all about myself and why I'm here.
Whereas in actual fact, we are nosy.
Yeah, I know that. So they're very good at finding out about other people, but give you nothing about themselves. That's the Irish way. But no, the Americans love it, because they don't get that. They're not used to it. So it's just, yeah, they love it.
Fergal, is it just Americans that are coming here looking for men and women, or do you occasionally get other nationalities who, like, and I'm talking specifically about people who live outside the country?
Who live outside the country? I mean, we've got a few, like...
British?
Like, good bit of British. Yeah, a lot of people in London and Manchester, a bit of Dubai. Yeah, but a lot of those would be, they'd be over and back more regularly. We'd have people who would, like, live in London, like, Monday to Thursday, nursing or whatever, and then they come back here every weekend. So much more frequent, kind of, to Ireland. And, yeah, there's people who would be working down on the oil rigs and stuff like that. They've gone for 6 weeks and back for 6 weeks and stuff like that. But Americans, definitely, they're the ones who are like, oh, this is dramatic. This is like, I'm coming over in 3 months, four a month, and then I'm going back, and then I'm back. And then the main reason they won't move over here, because they would love to move over here, is because the 52% tax would kill them, because they've usually got quite a lot of money and they're big earners. So they physically can't move for, obviously, financial reasons. That's pretty much across the board the main reason why there's so many Americans in particular.
Well, just to move on to something else, Fergal, before we finish up, I want you to tell the listeners about the 61-year-old bloke you were chatting to who wanted to join Intro but had a very strict, shall we say, no kids policy. Tell us about that bloke.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So this guy, well, number one, he wanted the women to all be over 5'10". and that's in itself difficult. And number two, yes, he said she must not ever have been married. She must be only single, never married, and have no children whatsoever. And anytime I hear that, I know instantly what it is. But a lot of the time, people won't understand why it would be that he's that picky. And it's because he, in the past, had a relationship with a woman who was in her late 50s, early 60s, and she had children of, you know, adult children who were in their 20s. But she played a part in their lives, and she'd go to their graduation, and she'd go, you know, wish them well or do whatever she'd do with them, spend the weekend with them, maybe go shopping with the daughters. And this guy got really annoyed about that because he had to share his partner with her children. And he was getting jealous. So he's behaving like a bold child, basically, throwing the toys out of the pram, saying, no, I want you all to myself. So now he's decided then to cast the net across all and make general sweeping statements by saying all women, unless they're over 5'10" and unless they actually are going to be totally unattached, like me, I am not going to give them the time of day. So he automatically shoots himself in the foot, wipes out more than half the population because he selfishly thinks that he should get all the attention to himself. And that's more common than you think.
And what do you do with the likes of him? I mean, do you sign him up anyway, knowing that you're going to narrow the search down to...
Not unless he heeds the advice, and not unless he realizes that, okay, a lot of women, do you know what, we can't have that. We can't have someone, like, what would he say? If he said he wanted to only meet women who, if they had children, that's fine as long as she didn't have any part to play in their lives. That's not exactly going to be a warm kind of a person that you're going to want to meet anyway. But the thing is, a lot of women could say, if they wanted to, if they are separated or divorced, they could say, well, I don't want to meet a man who's 61 and who's a bachelor, you know, who hasn't had experience. Because they might say, well, he hasn't had relationship experience and a relationship history, so I want to be with someone who understands that it's about compromise and flexibility and give and take. So that, the point is, if you're a guy who is in the 50s and 60s or 40s or 50s and 60s, and you're thinking, oh no, I'm single, so she has to be single too because I'm footloose and fancy free and I've got no ties and I've got no baggage. They love saying that. The point is, that's not something to brag about. It's not something to brag about, saying, well, I'm 50 and I've got no history of relationships. So you can't be judging other people because they've gotten married and have divorced, but they have children. You can't be jealous of the other person's children. It is obviously never going to work out well if you enter into a new relationship or dating like that. I just thought it was a good message to send because it's very much more common than you'd actually think, that kind of May Fainer kind of childish attitude.
Yeah, I would imagine that it is from what you've been telling us over the years, Fergal. Well, listen, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but a load of people are very interested to hear about the Americans. You won't be surprised to hear that, Fergal, so you never know. You'll have to keep us posted on whether or not you managed to match up any Americans with any nice Irish girls, or indeed Irish guys.
Absolutely. Love to.
Give us the number for intro in case anybody wants to make a note of it before you go.
Absolutely, yes. So it's 016-777-000 anytime before 5:30, where they can leave a message anytime they want, or they can email us through the website intro.ie. And it's for all ages and it's all demographics and it's all orientations, be it straight, gay. So anybody is welcome.
Lovely stuff. Fergal, great to talk to you. Have a lovely weekend and we'll chat again soon. And that's Fergal Harrington from Intro Matchmaking. 29 minutes past two, lots to come in the final half hour of Friday's Talk About.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, brought to you in a...